Hello, welcome to the Family Law Cafe podcast. I'm Joanna Toch. In this podcast, I introduce you to different people in my network, and I hope it's all useful to you. I'm going to introduce you to Reina Menezes de Costa. Have I got that right?
Reina Menezes de Costa.
Menezes de Costa. So, Reina, what do you do? Tell me.
I am a 24-year qualified solicitor and ex-head of legal for a multinational called ZTV. I am also the founder of my own consultancy, which is a 5-star rated consultancy for legal and business services, and it's called BizLaw UK.
Yeah, so we've known each other, I think, for about a year, and I was immediately impressed with you because you really know what you're doing. I have cases in family law where there's a business element, so there's a good connection there. And I know that you have cases where, you know, has a family element, so we kind of work in that network together. Just can I ask you a few questions about how you got into what you're doing? Because, you know, you are very impressive and doing a great job. So what sort of brought you into law? Did you want to do that when you were young, or what?
I grew up in India. Ancestrally, I'm from Goa, hence the Portuguese-Spanish connection with my name. Yeah. I grew up in India, and out there, they're very conscious about education and professionalism. So they want you to either be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. My parents were doctors. My brother was a doctor. Engineering was more like a guy thing for me. So I was really good at speaking and had great EQ skills. And I thought, what else? Let me become a lawyer. Because my parents said, why see the suffering and the sad side of life?
Yeah. So you wanted to be a lawyer from an early age. Were you educated in Goa?
No, I was brought up in Mumbai.
Okay.
And I qualified in Mumbai, and then I re-qualified in the UK when I moved here around 24 years ago. Mm-hmm. With my husband as well.
Okay. And so why did you want to come and live in the UK?
Just a better work-life balance, better prospects, a better country to be in.
Yeah, yeah. So as a woman, did you find it kind of easy to establish yourself, or were there any struggles, or I don't know?
I think at the time that we moved, it was quite cosmopolitan already, and I moved in with a job in hand as in-house counsel for a multinational broadcaster. Mm-hmm. And 1 year down the line, I became head of legal for Europe. And that was a great experience. I did that for 10 years, yeah. Post which there was the recession and people were being made redundant and setting up their own businesses. I then spotted that gap in the market where people were really intimidated with using lawyers and, you know, quite scared or not knowing what to do about it. And we wanted to provide something very innovative and unique at that time, which was now 12 years ago,
yeah,
where we were your outsourced in-house lawyer without the overheads. Mm-hmm. I was also very well connected, voted by LinkedIn as one of the top three connected women in my sector for International Women's Day. So I put my thinking cap on and I said, why not add my connections to my clients' needs? And that would be my USP. So it's not just what we do, but it's who we know.
So that's quite interesting. So you said that you got into this about 12 years ago. So about 2012?
Yes.
It's exactly when I started thinking I want to do something different. And the way what attracts me to what you're doing is kind of what I'm doing too in family law, where you are saying, there is this sort of mystique and fear for people using a lawyer when they really do need one. So how do you market your services so that you get past that barrier?
Yes, so mine is a consultancy. It's not a law firm. So that breaks down the barrier in the first instance in terms of the regulations and the cost factors. So we can be really flexible with our costing. We can WhatsApp people. We can, we meet in coffee shops. We have Zoom calls. We have a team of over 200 vetted experts now. And we're listed on the UK government's Inward Investment Directory as advisors for internationals, the brightest and the best from around the world. And then have this holistic one-stop platform for people. So busy businesses do not have time to really go and find resources, and they just come to one stop and we take care of all their needs.
So you're one stop for business. I'm a one stop for family law. And so in terms of how you find your network and how you vet them, because you said they're vetted. So how do you establish that they're really good in their field?
Lots of factors. I mean, some of them I've known personally and worked with them, so they're quite credible. Looking at testimonials, feedback from clients, and really their credentials to begin with. So I look at all of those factors, as well as the ease of using their services, how quick they are to respond. Reviews, as I said, are very important as well. Client reviews, lots of things like that.
And have I imagined this, but do you have a podcast?
I do have one. Yes, you're right.
I should be on it.
Yes, but mine is not as exciting as yours. Yeah. Mine is just, you know, basically, we have clients who come to us with questions about different aspects of law and business. And then we just convert those questions into practical podcasts with information. Yeah. So it's not interviewing people, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's because I do family law. I just love to sort of nose about and find out about people. I think that's part of being a family lawyer. We just want to... To know about people.
We also have a YouTube channel doing something similar, and then we're on LinkedIn, TikTok, and other platforms as well. So it's very quite innovative.
Yeah, and you said that you were one of the top connected businesswomen. So how did all of that whole networking and that side start for you?
So I grew up in a family where my dad was very, you know, fond of socializing. And I think I just grew up liking people and, you know, meeting people and being around them. I just feel you learn so much from each other and working collaboratively. So I grew a lot of networks locally to where I am. Lots of women in business networks where we meet, we socialize, as well as do business together, recommend each other, things like that. And also generally... as I said, I was voted by LinkedIn as one of the top three connected lawyers in my sector.
I'm so jealous.
No, you're welcome to come our way and have
like
some fun.
I'm sort of a no mate here.
Yeah. And because I've got I'm wearing this colourful top just to say that I'm a very colourful person. I'm a creative myself. I like singing, dancing, etc., acting. And I'm very much into that creative space as well, because we work with film producers, content creators, television channels, and help them. So, you know, I need to be one of them, understand their journey to help them better.
Yeah, I feel that's been a really big journey for me, that I was, you know, doing as a lawyer and as a barrister, you know, with wig and gown, you know, when I did crime. And then I didn't realise it at the time, but it's only now I reflect that then doing family law where it's in private. So you're sort of private upon private, you know, because obviously wigged and gowned to make you look anonymous. Barristers were not allowed to advertise when I started. And then to do family law where you're hidden away and no one sees anything apart from the people in your case. So it's been a big challenge for me to come out and be really more of myself, where you just way ahead of me being this. I'm so jealous now. I want to be like connecting with everyone on LinkedIn. But I also feel that I've become more creative as I've gone into this. Do you feel that you've become more, you know, obviously you were working for... What was it? You were global head of Europe. I mean, that's massive, isn't it?
ZTV, which was the first private Asian broadcaster in the UK, and then they're a multinational. And I was responsible for expanding them into various territories, into various platforms, etc. And that was fun in its own way. But, you know, I just love being my own boss and doing my own thing. And the team that I have, I mean, I love the fact that people can work how they want, when they want, where they want, and for how long they want, because that really brings out the best in them.
Yeah. I love to go away somewhere and be at work. Some people would think that's incredibly sad, but I think it's actually fun that, you know, you can go and work anywhere, just have a laptop and, you know, be helping people. And, I can use my phone just to do my work. You were talking about your networking group of women in London that you have. Tell me about that.
Yes. So, I mean, we created it early, I mean, I think late last year. And then we meet once a month at a particular hub by a lady who offers that there. It's called Professional Asians. And I've also got my own walking group and, you know, my other group for ladies who lunch and various things happening. So it's good fun.
So do you feel that there are any particular challenges for women as leaders that you've come across? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because we're just going out and doing it anyway. So I, I don't know. Who do you have as your models, for example? Do you have other women or do you have men? What would you say?
To some extent, my mum is a role model because she was a doctor practicing by herself, but she wasn't in the digital age, so she didn't have the knowledge or the challenges of social media marketing, which is also great to have as a small business because, you know, if you're competing with large businesses that have huge budgets, we can't do that. So we just have to, it's got to be a very personal touch. People buy from people and people know, like, and trust me and then hence refer clients to me.
Yeah, it's all about that, isn't it? And so in some ways, do you think there's a benefit being a woman leader? You know, being a woman in the marketplace of a small business? Because we do like to kind of socialize.
I guess men do as well.
In a different way, I guess.
In a different way. But I think post-COVID, there's been pros and cons. I think the pros are that working flexibly is not that frowned upon because senior leaders did it effectively. Yeah. And they realized that technology was way ahead of mindset. And at the end of the day, for me, it's the quality of what's in your mind and how you deliver it rather than, you know, being in a 9-to-5 job Monday to Friday in central London, you know, just traveling in and out. And that's not good for your mental health nor the climate. So really, I think the hybrid model that's really come out of this whole fiasco is a good way forward.
I do too. I really do. I don't know why people insist on it's got to be one or the other. And it depends on the job you're doing, doesn't it? As to how much time. And I love that. I think the younger generation totally get that. In lots of ways, it's a real benefit if you're young to be, you know, coming in and you're meeting and socialising and learning. But also, sometimes you need time to just get on with stuff and be based at home. So I think that, it's something good that's come out of it all. I know that you're interested in neurodiversity. Tell me about that.
So I'm a mentor in a couple of incubators, and I just feel a lot of neurodiverse people, the support that's been offered to them is not good enough, or they've not been diagnosed, and they have a lot to bring to the table. A lot of them think out of the box, think differently, and they can really change the world for the better. So I'm all for, you know, supporting this change, be it climate change, be it artificial intelligence or whatever have you. This year, particularly, I've joined 3 incubators as a mentor. And there's one business out there, for example, that's looking at helping neurodiversity in the workplace, working with big firms to help them identify undiagnosed neurodiverse people and help them achieve their potential. For example, highly intelligent people on the autism spectrum, as you can see, Elon Musk and perhaps maybe even, you know, some others, actors, etc. as well, they can contribute a lot, but they might not really be comfortable in sales roles or people-facing roles. So one has to identify, you know, these things and put them in the right places.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting because I think I've perhaps focused on there are people that I know that have been really broken by the fact that their particular talents they're quite different. They present quite differently, highly intelligent, and they've been quite broken by being pushed into, you know, we have to behave in one particular way. But you're taking it a step further, aren't you, by saying we've gone beyond that. We can now identify so much more. But let's see the talents of those people.
Exactly. I mean, I don't even agree with the word disabled for some people because they are, it's just a neurodiversity. Yeah. They're differently able. Yeah. They are much more able than you and I sometimes. And you know, so why use a negative phrase?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it. We've gone certainly through my lifetime from a situation where people have suffered because they've been different in as you say, it's neurodiversity, but it seemed very much when I was younger that there were certain people that succeeded because they were typical, whereas we're now at a position where we can benefit and recognise having that diversity. I certainly know in my business that sometimes I've brought people in to do certain things and that just hasn't worked at all. I think if I've got one talent, it's spotting what people are good at. And then you'll be really good at this. Sometimes a bit too over-enthusiastic. Why am I doing this? But I think it's making the best of talents, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's the exciting thing about a small business.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes. And I love my creatives because some of them are neurodiverse as well. And that brings, you know, beautiful television, beautiful content to screens that, you know, escapism is necessary for all of us. You know, we can't just be working all the time. We need to have some fun in our lives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. So where do you think you're going in the next? I mean, the last, sounds like you've been having a ball for the last 12 years. So actually, it sounds like you've been having a great time all your working life. It sounds like what a stunning career you've had. So where is it going for the next 12 years, do you think?
I think just growing on these strengths, as I said, looking more into to the mentoring space, yeah. Giving back to the community, helping the brightest and the best from around the world, perhaps moving to the UK, helping them to grow, and also working very much with creatives. My son also being a creative, looking at his journey as it progresses. And really, the circle of life, I think, is connecting the dots, connecting everybody. We can all help each other in different ways. We work with students to help them get onto the ladder and you know, get work experience. We work with the elderly to, you know, things like the adult dependent visa, and it's a circle of life.
Yeah. Well, you've brought a lot of joy today. You've completely lifted me, as you always do. I met you at a networking event. I think I was just about to leave. It's always that thing where I tend to hang around. I tend to turn up late and hang around late. I don't know why. That's just me. I think I was just about to leave and we had a chat and we just instantly connected, didn't we? But then I guess you probably instantly connect with everyone because you're vibrant, aren't you?
Oh, no. You're very vibrant too, and I love
what
you're
today.
Doing.
I am today. You're lifting me. So thank you so much for chatting to us. I'm really excited that you came on. I hope anyone listening has got, you know, a tenth of the energy that I've got from this conversation, and excited to work with you in the future and whatever we do, and just be connected with you because, you know, you bring a lot of interest to life, and I know that you're going to go on doing that. So thank you very much.
Likewise. I just wanted to also mention that we offer things like a free legal health check, a consultation, and I'm a consultant with a couple of large law firms as well. So I've got a wide network of people like Excello Law, Taylor Rose, etc. So, yeah.
Oh, really important to say. So, yes, anyone listening, I like that. Free is always not a check, and it's a free check, not free advice for years and years, but that's what people need. I think that it's just making law more accessible.
Exactly.
It infuriates me to see when people don't deal with things in the best way, and because of their fear that if I go near a lawyer, I'm going to end up with just empty pockets. But I think that's such a good idea, free health check.
So our motto is literally prevention is better than cure. And we did a free legal health check over COVID with Harrow Council for micro businesses in the borough, which was very well received. We also provide very practical, proactive and personalised services. So the PPP, if you want to remember that.
Okay, so that's for people with, say, small businesses. Yes. They can have a health check with you. Have I covered what I need to do legally?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. That's massive because so many people are opening businesses now, aren't they? A side hustle and that kind of thing. So thank you again.
Thank you so much
and
for having
me. And see you
me.
Again soon. Thank you.